Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, everybody, and good afternoon, and welcome to another weekly edition of
the
I'm
Good afternoon, dear saints of God, and please, I apologize for that interruption, but it was Mama Dog and her mutt brat dog in studio that I just had to kick out. Welcome, everyone, to the End Time News Report, where we were just invaded by two heretics. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Let me bring on Sister Marie, and Sister Marie, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Oh,
they tried to creep in unawares. They tried to creep in unawares, but I kicked them out.
Oh, you shouldn't do that.
Yep, her and her mutt.
Let them stay.
Her and her designer dog. Mm-hmm. Boy.
Oh, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, I'm a designer pastor. Did you know that, Sister Marie? I'm a designer pastor.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that means mutt. In other words, that means mutt. Okay? So if somebody tells you they're a designer bishop or a designer prophet or whatever, that just means mutt.
That means mutt. Okay. I learn something
new
every day.
Yeah, that means mutt. You know, up here in the country, when you go to auction to buy a cow or to buy a goat or whatever, people ask you if you have papers for that animal.
Right.
To prove that it's a pure breed. Because, listen, if you don't have the papers, they're not buying it.
Right.
You need to have papers. And that dog came with no papers. No papers whatsoever. Trying to sneak in here with his droopy eyes. And I have no mercy. Well, did you have a good week, Sister Marie? Did you have a good week?
Busy. Just crazy busy.
Right.
You know my life. I get busy.
Yep. Yep, especially when you have kids. Your life is busy with kids. Yep. So
the kids and grandkids, they kept me busy, you know, on and off.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of laughs with the little one. That Elliot, he's a laugh. He is such a laugh. He's so tough for his age, you know. And, you know, I was watching him, and he, you know, the older kids were running, and he ran after him, and he just tackled him by the legs, pulled the older
one
down.
Wow.
Playing football already. I said, oh, my goodness.
Amazing.
Oh.
Amazing. But that's it.
He calls me, too.
He calls me
Grandma, too. Two.
Okay.
Grandma, too. He has two grandmas. I'm Grandma, too. So,
I see.
Yeah.
Well,
funny.
At least you're a grandma. You know, at least you're a grandma.
Yeah.
I'm nothing yet, you know.
You will be.
I'm just a designer dad.
Designer dad.
That's all I am right now, designer dad.
We used to call that Heinz 57, the mutt.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, dear.
So. What are you going to do?
Not a thing. Well, my husband just had to take Chico in to get his shots, you know, his yearly shot. And he kept saying, he's going to be mad at me. He's going to be mad at me because you're sending me to do this. It's like,
he
had to travel like 35 minutes to his vet. And he drove up there and came back, and, you know, the vet called me, and she says, you know, she told my husband, she said, I have a really funny story. She said, a guy come in, and he opened up his coat, and he had a sticker inside his coat, and said, here's a list of the things my wife reported that you need to do for our dog. And my husband says, well, I have a sticker. And he put it on his arm, and he goes, here's the list that my wife sent that you need to do for the dog. So she called me just to double check.
Yeah. Sure, absolutely. I don't go anywhere without a note. Yeah, I don't go anywhere without a note.
Exactly.
That's it. I have, you know, wherever I go, I got to take a note because you didn't say it right. Well, I said it the way you said it. So
yes,
type it out.
Exactly.
Type it out, and I'll just give them the note, and that's it. And then
yes.
you take it up with them. You take it up with
them. Oh.
That's the best I can do.
I know it's terrible, but that's what we do.
Exactly. Exactly.
No excuse.
That's it. Women don't want to hear excuses. Women don't want to hear, you know, they don't want to hear it. They just want everything followed, all the orders followed to a T.
Yep.
So,
step by step.
Step by step. That's it.
Yeah.
How's the weather by you?
81 and sunny today.
Yeah.
So it's a nice day.
It's a nice day for me, and it's a little breezy, which I like. It's not, you know, hot and humid. It's just a little breezy. And all that's good. You know, it's good. When it's sunny and it's a little warm, and then there's a nice breeze coming through, that's great weather.
Yes. We had that yesterday. We had the breeze yesterday. And today it's a little muggy.
Right.
But it's nice, you know, it's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's not 96 like we had last week, so.
Right.
You know, so it's better.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yep.
So
we have a great show today.
I hope.
We have a great show today. Well, we don't have to hope when Sister Marie's in studio. You do a great job.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
So there's so much craziness going on in the world.
I know.
Really,
I had
a lot of
nutty stuff. I had a show last week, and the news changes so fast. I had to change the news. I don't know if you noticed that or not. This week I sent you, it's like, scrap that. We have new news this week.
Yeah.
you know? So, it is crazy. A lot going on.
Everything changes pretty fast, right?
Pretty much. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
A lot of stuff happening in the world. A lot of stuff happening in the world. But by the grace of God, we're still here. We're still contending for the faith. We're still, doing what we can for God and country. And that's what counts.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
So
last week we talked,
go
we're
going
to hit some news before we get to our main audio. That's all I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to tell we're stepping on each other because we're on radio. I can't see when you're going to talk.
That's absolutely, I noticed that in Great Britain, I mean, they just booted, or he just resigned. Boris Johnson just resigned. I guess because he was a phony during COVID and he was telling people to wear masks and don't party and don't gather. And then they have pictures of him gathering and having parties and, not wearing a mask and fooling around. And, so the rules apply to us, but they don't apply to them.
Right.
And so I guess, I don't know. Should a guy get fired for that? I mean, that's kind of, fire him for bigger
stuff.
Well,
I don't know what's going on here, but there's a lot of changes,
Right.
In the uppers. There's a lot of
changes
going on right now and a lot of transition. And I think he's just one. I'm not sure why. And I had a few good news stories last week. One is Australia. I'm trying to remember it off my head. In Australia, it came out in Australia news that the rugby team, I believe, has banned transgenders from playing in the Olympics because they said it's just not fair to women. There's no way to have women's sports.
Right.
Well, when they did that, the swim team also did that. So they're taking steps in a different direction, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had a few things that have changed, you know, for the better. We could say good news that came out of things. You know, there's a lot going on, but there was some good news last week. You know, people, they were putting their foot down. Now, is this a part of what's going on? It could be. It could be.
Yeah.
Switching that from one or the other, you know, that just plays out. We'll see. But, yeah, there's a lot of people stepping down. And now, last week we talked about Megyn Kelly, who put out information that the Pope could be resigning. So after that, the Pope himself came out and spoke on it. So I do have an audio so we can hear that. That's audio one. So we know that time proves any rumor that's out there. And we said that our last show, you know, it's just a matter of time. Somebody will put something out and then, you know, it could be true, might be true, might not be true. But Megyn Kelly was on Fox, released that on Fox News. And so he it went back to the Pope. So it was an actual thing out there, but he says he's not resigning. So we, if we can play the audio, it's only a couple minutes long. We can clear up this mystery.
All right. Here's the Jesuit Pope.
Yep.
Welcome back to Morning in America. I'm Mitch Carr alongside Adrian Banker. Pope Francis is breaking his silence on the speculation that he's been out, that has been out there for months, that he is ready to retire.
And he's saying, oh no, don't be so quick to judge. In an exclusive interview this week with Reuters, the Pope says he's staying put. Of course, pontiffs, they are elected to serve until death, but a few, including Pope Francis's predecessor, Pope Benedict, did step down early. Again, it's very rare. Aaron Nolan is here now with Pope Francis saying he is not going to be following in his predecessor's steps. Aaron?
Yeah, that's right, guys. The Pope is 85 years old. He's a year removed from a colon surgery that left him in the hospital for 10 days. He's got an ongoing knee issue. But right now the Pope is putting off retirement. He's taking that off the table, and he's got big plans for the future.
The Pope's age and health are just two things fueling speculation about his future. In May, Francis announced he'll be appointing 21 new cardinals in August. Some Vatican watchers saw that as the Pope looking to control who his successor would be. But over the weekend, the Pope told Reuters he's not going anywhere.
All these coincidences made some think that the same liturgy would happen, but it didn't get into my head. It never entered my mind. For the moment, no.
The Pope also talked about the knee problem that's led him to call off several recent trips, including one this month to Africa.
It's a ligament that became inflamed, and because I walked badly, and this walking badly moved a bone, a fracture there, and that's the problem.
Despite the bad knee, the Pope says he's looking to get directly involved in trying to end the war in Ukraine. He's working on a possible trip to Moscow that would be a first for any Pope.
I would like to go, and I wanted to go to Moscow first. We exchanged messages about this, because I thought that if the president of Russia gave me a tiny window, I would go there to serve the cause of peace.
Pope Francis is known for holding more liberal viewpoints on several numerous social issues, but when asked about Roe versus Wade being overturned in the United States, he said he fully supports the church doctrine. In fact, the Pope equated abortion for any reason to murder and abortion providers to hitmen. Back to you.
All right, that is Aaron Nolan reporting live for us. Thank you.
Yeah, the Pope's not going anywhere.
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean that God can't give him a pink slip.
Yeah, well.
You know, he can issue him.
Sure.
A pink slip at any time.
Well,
now,
even the Cardinals can. No, I was gonna say even the Cardinals can give him a pink slip. They can put a pillow over his face and suffocate him, and that's that.
Yeah, that's happened before. Yeah,
sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, they don't care. Listen, these people are criminals. He talks
that's
about
right.
criminals. They're hitmen. What do you think you guys are? You guys are hitmen, right? So.
Yep.
He's talking about hitmen, like Are you kidding me? The Roman Catholic Church is a hit piece.
That's right.
So, no.
That's right. So, what's interesting about this, though, they said he was going to meet with the president of Ukraine for peace, right?
Right.
Did you hear that? Zelensky, is that his name? Zelensky.
Yeah, Zelensky.
Isn't
he's going to meet with Zelensky and Putin. Yeah.
Okay. I find him interesting because, I looked up some things on him, and I sent you something a long time ago about him. And he's starting to show up everywhere, literally everywhere, from witchcraft concerts to the G7 speaking everywhere on a big screen. He's not actually going to a lot of these places. Some he is, but he's showing up on big screens everywhere. I mean, doing interviews everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It surprised me how much was on him. Now, I sent you an audio a long time ago, I think back when the war started, of him dancing in high heels on TikTok. Do you
remember
that?
Yeah, I remember seeing that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was him.
Yeah.
And he's suddenly showing up everywhere. Do you know that he was a comedian at one time?
Yeah, comedian
Did you
slash
know that?
Actor. Yes, yeah.
Actor?
He was a, yeah, he was a Saturday Night Live guy. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Sure.
So when he was meeting with him for peace, and this guy's showing up, he went to the witchcraft concert. You know, that's that thing. It's like, it's equivalent, it's Glastonbury, and it's equivalent to the Burning Man here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's England's version.
Right.
You know. And he shows up at that, and then he shows up at the G7. You see what I'm saying? He's everywhere.
Yeah, sure.
So
sure.
I'm a little concerned about him. I am a little concerned. And then he shows up on TV and dancing in heels.
Mm-hmm.
We have a problem. We have a problem with that guy.
Sure.
I don't know. It just struck me funny that all of a sudden – he's everywhere. And Hugo did something on that. And I thought, why is he showing up, you know, at political rallies and at, you know, where they're performing witchcraft and then, at the United Nations?
Right.
This guy was a comedian dancing in heels, you know, on TikTok. I don't know where we're at. These countries. Who's running these countries anymore? What have we got?
Yeah.
A little scary, isn't it?
Very scary.
Yeah.
Very, very scary.
Look at our country.
Sure. Absolutely.
Who's running
we
that?
Have we have Riz Van Winkle running this country. And he's still asleep. And he's still asleep. He hasn't woken up.
He doesn't know which way to go off the podium. He doesn't know which way to turn.
And he's shaking hands with the air. He's shaking hands with the air.
I can't make this up.
Right.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I pray every day for him not to die. Every day I pray for him not to die. Because the alternative is Kamala. So, no, Joe, stay alive. Joe, stay alive.
Yeah.
Don't die, Joe. Don't
Keep
die,
shaking
Joe.
Him.
Yeah,
Keep
yeah.
Shaking
Joe,
him.
Don't die. Because, we don't want Kamala.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's scary.
Oh, that's very scary.
That's scary. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, no, we don't want her. No way.
No way. You know... they're just starting to me to stand out, all these people. I mean, it's not like, when we had politicians before. We got comedians, and people like that running everything. It's really crazy.
Sure.
You know, it makes you think this is all comedy or something, something really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Probably both. I mean, they're probably laughing, saying, "I can't believe he ever got in," or, you know, this is a laugh. But it's crazy. We have no idea who's running, who these people are that are running these, you know, all the countries, including our own at this point. But anyway, I thought that was interesting that he's not so Megyn Kelly actually put that out. She was at the Vatican, and she put that out because she said she saw the cardinals everywhere, you know.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And we said it'd be a matter of time, and he says, "No, I'm not going anywhere." And you know, we will see. We will see. So that's just an update on the last time we were together,
you know,
talking about the news. Now I have another thing. We also know that the NYPD police are resigning in record numbers. Now, this is scary to me because the last show we did, we talked about the police, too, that they're leaving their job due to stress, due to wages. And then this video come out. So I want to listen to this. This is...
Okay.
I'm not sure what channel this is. News Nation, maybe. And this is about the New York Police Department. Now, if they're needed anywhere, one of the cities is New York City. The police are needed. But they're just resigning. So when you defund, this is when you defund the police and they get together for funding, there's no funding available for the police. So they're not making any money. They're going to resign.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Forget getting rid of them. They're resigning. They're quitting voluntarily because they're not putting their life on the line for no pay, basically.
Right.
So we have an audio on that, too, if you want to play that.
Okay, here it is.
NYPD is going through a mass exodus of officers leaving the force just as the city is in the middle of a violent crime wave.
All right, and that includes dozens of detectives. Last month alone, Teresa Priolo has more on why they're saying enough's enough. Teresa.
Steve and Lori, looking at the numbers, almost as many cops have resigned in the first half of 2022 than in all of 2020. This mass exodus, the result of an aging police force, but also the result of certain laws like bail reform, mixed with what some officers perceive to be an anti-police climate.
The search is on for the next generation of New York's finest, now that veteran cops are resigning or retiring en masse. 100 detectives retired in June alone. Another 75 are expected to turn in their badges in July. Paul DiGiacomo is president of the Detectives Endowment Association.
It's very disturbing. When you're losing this amount of detectives, it's going to be a drastic effect on public safety.
Not just detectives. It's NYPD members of every rank. In 2020, 553 cops resigned, 2,599 retired. In 2021, 1,053 resigned, 1,654 retired. And for the first half of 2022, 497 have resigned already, 594 have retired. Michael Alcazar is a retired NYPD detective who spent 39 years on the job.
My friends are showing up to jobs, responding to a job to handle an assignment, and they're getting flack from the community. The community, what they feel like the community doesn't appreciate them, doesn't want them there, and they can't do their job.
There can be no denying a marked shift in sentiment toward uniformed officers throughout the pandemic. But then there's bail reform and a change in the way the DAs are handling cases. Detective Alcazar points out the officers up for retirement are also a part of a very large class.
When older guys are like my age, staying to like 30, and then they're throwing them back on patrol, it's probably not good for your health. For most guys, we can't handle patrols. We're old men in our 50s. We can't go back on patrol. So age absolutely comes into the formula.
The problem is not only are officers retiring, new prospects aren't signing up in equal numbers.
I have students that are aspiring to be police officers. They were supposed to go in this last April class. They turned it down.
In response to this mass exodus, Mayor Adams says he's not worried about the change. He says it is a great opportunity to diversify the department.
Sure, keep drinking the Kool-Aid. Sure.
Yeah. Diversify.
What are you
going to
diversify with? Invisible people?
Yeah.
Is that what
right.
you're going to diversify with? Invisible
right.
applicant? It's stupid.
Or the pink force?
Exactly. Or drag queen police? You want
yeah.
drag queen police? Please.
Yeah. Well, that's happening. They've actually done decorated their cars in certain states and had parades. The police department.
Amazing. Amazing.
Just an FYI on that. That has happened, so that's not out of the question.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure.
So, you know, there's a lot of reasons that they are leaving. And, you know, the same thing is happening with the doctors. I don't know if you've noticed the specialty doctors. They're leaving in droves, too. So
sure.
what are we moving to? Lawlessness? I think so.
Absolutely.
I think so.
In a, we live in a chaotic, and again, you have people like Nancy Pelosi saying defund the police, but she's surrounded by 50 bodyguards. So
right.
she doesn't, you know, her husband gets pulled over for DUI. You think that guy's going to jail? You think her husband's
no.
going to spend 1 minute in jail or lose his license
no.
or have his insurance go up? No. Absolutely
mm-mm.
not. These people have different rules. They live by different rules.
Yep.
So it
yep.
is what it is. You know, it is what
yep.
it is. So what are you going to do?
It's just funny. That was on our minds a few weeks ago, and these things are coming out, you know. They're just playing out before our eyes because I thought it was interesting because of the money, you know, the money part of it. That was fascinating to me when I saw what the police officers made. You know, I thought, this is ridiculous. They could make more at McDonald's, honestly.
Right.
You know, or in a factory
sure.
than they make.
Sure.
And look at the crime rate going up. It's no wonder they don't
sure.
want to be here, you know. And
no.
then, of course, they have to judge everything. You know, there's no room for any error in that job at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and what are they going to replace it with? I can tell you. I know for sure, and I'll tell you why in a minute, they will replace them with robots, a lot of it. A lot of this
yeah.
is going to be replaced with robots doing that work. That's
yeah,
scary.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I had that confirmed. I actually asked a person who trains SWAT teams around the United
right.
States
mm-hmm.
if they were planning on or if they use or will continue to use robots in SWAT teams. And he said, absolutely.
Wow. Wow.
That means it's, you know, yep.
Sure, sure, sure.
So that's scary. To me, that's a scary thing. It's safer for them. You know, with the SWAT teams, it's safer for them. That's a good
sure.
thing. But on the other hand, they can turn that around to us, you know, or to people who disagree with what's going on. You know, that can be used in a bad way, too.
Sure.
So,
well, you can
that could be the alternative.
You can send in a robot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you
mm-hmm.
send in a robot, and let's say that robot has a high explosive inside of it. You can send
mm-hmm.
him in, and he can blow up the whole place and kill all of the perpetrators.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean,
yep.
you can't.
Yep.
It's like a robotic suicide bomber.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, you know that there are people there. Now, there's no police officer crazy enough to wear a whole vest of dynamite and go blow himself up to take people out. That a police officer is not going to do. But if you have a robot, the robot's only following instructions.
Yes.
So you send them in with a suicide vest, boom, kaboom, you know. And
yep.
And they're gonna round us all up, it's going to be easy to round up Christians because they're going to be, first of all of the charismatics, it's going to be easy to grab them because some of them are going to be slain in the spirit. So, yeah, they're going to be on the floor. There's going to be another group, decreeing and declaring. So those are easy to grab. Then you have the other ones who are speaking in tongues, speaking in gibberish, and they do that with their eyes closed, so they won't see you coming. It's easy to grab them, you know. It's easy.
Yep.
Listen. You know how you grab the preachers? Tell them to come to the White House to pray for the president. Tell them they got to send them an invitation, say they're being invited. Yeah, and they'll come and boom, put the handcuffs on them and you easy peasy.
Yeah.
It's going to be easy to round them up. It's easy.
Absolutely.
That's it.
And a lot of the pastors are doing that. They're rounding up the people for them. So, you know, come on.
Sure.
We know what they're doing. We know what they're doing.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. It's a crazy world. I'm telling you. Well,
you
just moving forward, little by little.
You have to be crazy to be a police officer today. You have to be crazy.
Yep.
Because you're in a no-win situation. You're in a no-win situation. No-win.
You'd have to be crazy to not want a police officer in these times.
You want one, right? I mean, everybody wants a police officer.
Well,
no one wants to defund the police. Yeah.
Yes. You'd have to be crazy to not want police officers.
Right, but you see, people like Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, that say let's defund the police is because they have bodyguards.
Yeah, exactly.
Al Sharpton, who tells you it's time to defund the police, he's got bodyguards.
Mhm.
So you know it doesn't apply to them.
Right.
It just doesn't apply to them because they have protection. They have protection.
And they tell you they don't want guns, or police, but yet they have security and guns. So, same thing, you know. Oh,
sure.
I don't know.
Sure.
It's crazy.
Sure.
It's sin. It's sin. That's what it is. You know, the whole thing.
Absolutely.
That's what it revolves around. That's the bottom line. It's easy, isn't it?
Right.
Okay. I have another audio. Now, this was interesting to me. You know the Georgia Guidestone? You know about that, don't you?
I don't know what that is. No.
Oh, you got kidding me. Okay. Mm-hmm. That was destroyed. Part of it was destroyed, and then there was a part of it that was destroyed, and then it was quickly demolished, the rest of it. Now, it's an essential guide. Stone, it's, you know, for the New World Order, right? It's America's Stonehenge, and it's written in stone. What's written in stone on there, like depopulation and all that. You know, reducing the world, you know, revolving around the agenda we see today. That's on that stone.
Right.
And it's 10 written in stone. It's in Georgia. You got to look it up. Well, it's gone now because they just demolished it. You know, on them were rules basically for future apocalyptic circumstances for a generation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was rules for depopulation, which included maintaining a population like 10%, only 10% of what we have now on the earth.
Right.
It was written... The stones were written in several different languages, okay? It's amazing. It's amazing. Now, I saw this years ago, and I thought, what is this? It's a recipe for the New World Order. It really is. And there's 10 commandments on it of what to do.
Wow.
This is massive. This thing is massive. And it sits in a field in Georgia, you know. And they built that. What surprised me that you did not know about it, this was built in around 1979. So it's 40-plus years old.
Right.
Now, the builder is unknown. However, he uses the fake name R.C. Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And there's a hole in it for the sun to come through that they claim is an energy force. Okay? And I think it's, you know, it's on a farmland outside of Atlanta. I think it's something like 5 acres it's on. And it's in a county where they make granite. You know, they have a lot of granite there.
Right.
For
mm-hmm.
making headstones, things like that.
Yeah.
And it just, it's the only thing that stands there. And so it has what they call the 10 guiding principles of truth in it. And it just is following what we see now, honestly. And then all of a sudden, it gets destroyed. Now, it's been there since, what, 1979? It just got destroyed the other day. So according to one man, there's one man who knew the original builder, who he thinks is probably passed on now. He
right.
was really concerned about the environment, this guy said. He won't
mm-hmm.
give up the name of who he was, but we see that today. That's, you know what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
there's a rumor that there's a time capsule underneath it. What that contains, I don't know. Is there one? I don't know. But there's a lot of rumors that's centered around this thing. Some are rumors. Some are crazy. A lot of conspiracies. But I got to admit, everything on there is the plan for the New World Order. You know, having it, to me, what creeps me out about it is it's 10 commandments for the New World Order, and it's written in stone. You know, see the connection?
Yeah, yeah,
and it's
yeah.
been there since
Absolutely.
1979. Now, I think there's an attempt to really call everyone a conspiracy theorist. Now, why is it there? You know, I don't know. But, you know, they're trying to say anybody who has any common sense at all, they call a conspiracy theorist. But what is it doing there in the middle of nowhere?
Right.
And why
right.
was it erected in 1979?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean? I mean, you automatically see connections with the Bible. Why would they do this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's totally against the word of God. Everything on it, like depopulation, you know, you see the coexist movement on it, love, unity, all this
mm-hmm.
kind of stuff, what we need to do. And it's like a commandment for another generation. But now something happened to it, and who are they going to blame? The conspiracy theorists, the logical thinkers. That's what a logical thinker is now called, a conspiracy theorist, right? And of course, the Christians, too. Why? Because the Christians have called it satanic for years.
Right, right.
Okay? So, interesting. So we have an audio on
yeah.
that.
Yeah, this
yeah,
is
you need
I
to.
Never heard, I never heard of the Georgia Guidestone.
Yeah, it's America's Stonehenge, man-made,
okay.
you know? Yeah, some people are. You know, when you do get the crazies in there, they say aliens built it. No, it was built in 1979, you know.
Sure.
So a different generation. So, you know, they're combining what they're doing is they're combining people who are logical thinkers and see what's going on around them with the ones who claim that UFOs built things. You see, they're combining them. Everybody's a conspiracy
mm-hmm.
theorist. That's crazy. If you're a logical thinker, what's the purpose for this? I think if we, all of all the shows we did, Agenda 21 and all that, that's all the same thing that are on those stones. So it is interesting.
Yeah.
So we're going to see the destruction of it or listen to a news clip on it. And
all
this
right.
is from Hugo, and he's going to talk a little bit about it.
All right, here it is.
Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talks. Well, this is a follow-up to yesterday's video on the Georgia Guide Stones, as that was pretty much a short video and initially just responding to the early reports. So let's have a deeper look at it, as it is somewhat of a bit of a mystery. There's loads of stuff going on today. Apparently, we have the puppet Bojo the Clown resigning today in the UK. We've got the Georgia Guidestones going boom yesterday and the CERN the day before. What did CERN do? Nothing, I reckon. Anyway, now before we get into this, we have to realize that we are living in the midst of a media fantasy world where the narratives are being constructed on a daily basis in order to influence and mislead the public away from the truth. This is how it seems to be to me. So even before we look into this, you need to question everything, even the footage, even if it's real, everything. Anyhow, this Georgia Guidestones is somewhat a bit of a puzzle. So now they released the footage of the monument and the explosion from the camera. They have numerous CCTV cameras there. Here, as we can see, now the media in America and the police have stated that it was an explosive device, and an investigation is now underway. Are they telling the truth about this? Who knows? But the whole site has now been leveled to the ground. They brought in a forklift to bring down the rest of the monument, as they stated that the explosion had made the rest of the monument unstable and therefore now dangerous, which I thought was very quick initially. I mean, if this was a crime, they're tampering with the evidence. Shouldn't they be investigating this site? But no, this truck comes in and starts knocking everything down. Anyhow, now there are some that are suggesting that this was actually a lightning strike and not an explosive, okay? And one of the reasons for this is the actual impact footage itself, which as you can see here, there is a bright light in the footage. Just before the monolith goes boom, that light that increases in size is the main light that's shining on the monument, which seems to pulse just before the impact takes place. Some people are suggesting that this is an effect caused by lightning, and some have said there is a purple hue around the area just after the impact. Could that be associated with lightning? Well, I'm not an expert on lightning, so it's difficult to say. Couldn't lightning do this? Is it a message from God? Well, I'd like to think that could be true. I mean, the world has gone crazy. So who am I to say it's not impossible? Also, so far as I know, they have released footage of the impact from these cameras, but no footage of anyone setting any devices on the monument. I mean, surely if they have footage of the explosion from cameras that are recording 24/7, then they must have footage of people setting a device up beforehand. They have released footage of a car driving off just after the incident happened. So if there is no footage of people setting the device up, what's going on here? I mean, what's going on then? Does this suggest that it was done by a targeted weapon of some kind that does not require the setting up of a device? Or are they covering up the fact that it was hit by lightning and they don't want people to know this? We also have to note the time this happened, which was at 4 o'clock. But at 3 minutes and 33 seconds, the impact happened at exactly 3 minutes and 33 seconds. Now, some people believe the psyops and staged events that happen when reported in the media, that they like to use the certain numbers in details of reports. One of those numbers is 33. For example, he was 33 years old. Oh, it happened at 33 so-and-so street or avenue. There were 33 victims, etc., etc. And the reason given is that it's a way maybe of signaling those in the know that this event didn't really happen, or it did happen, but it was staged. And here we see that this happened at the 33rd second, 3 minutes and 33 seconds. Was that what really happened, or did they even put the clock in afterwards on the footage? You know, also the footage, again, is in low res, which doesn't help. Now, I'm not claiming to have the answers here, but in my opinion, my initial estimation at the moment is that this is most likely a PSYOP, a signal of some kind. If this was some form of device, this is not something that could be pulled off by an amateur. And also, this has been heavily featured in the fake stream media. Again, I don't trust anything that's heavily featured in the fake stream media, especially it's been featured in the USA. And already, if you look at the reports, there are two things that stand out. Many reports are mentioning the term satanic, okay? Now, I've talked about the Georgia Guidestones in the past. I don't believe I ever mentioned the word satanic about them. Maybe, you know, I said the New World Order or other terms, but not necessarily that specific term. But they seem to be pushing the notion that this was done by an extremist Christian. So this could be the first step in a smear campaign to demonize or frame Christians as extremists or as dangerous. Here we see Washington Post, far right called U.S. Stonehenge satanic and cheered when it blew up. Here we see NPR News, a Georgia monument seen by some as satanic was damaged, etc., etc. And this article came out, you know, just a few hours after it was initially reported. And in this article, they have drafted in a person called Katie McCarthy, who researches conspiracy theories for the Anti-Defamation League. And in this article, she goes on to say that incidents like this just show how conspiracy theories and theorists are dangerous. She says in the article, this is another example of how conspiracy theories do and can have a real-world impact. We've seen this with QAnon and multiple other conspiracy theories, that these ideas can lead somebody to try and take action in furtherance of their beliefs, McCarthy said. They can attempt to try and target the people and institutions that are at the center of these false beliefs, she says. So already at this early stage, with that report out there, they are already bringing these people to make comments like this. So along with the Q PSYOP that is already ongoing, which is only initially just started up again recently with their Q drops or whatever it is, and now this, and with the way the media are framing it, with much talk of the building being thought of as satanic, this could well be set up to push that agenda. I mean, on one side, we have the Q PSYOP and the nonsense they talk about. Now we have this possible staged event. We have on the other side, the MSM, which they can now use this event as ammunition to smear all people who are questioning what's going on, and label them as extremists who are dangerous. I mean, is that the game that is at play here? We also have this story about the Republican candidate who only a month ago claimed the Guidestones were satanic and made demolishing them part of her platform. She said if she were to get elected, she would get rid of them. And this was also talked about on the John Oliver show in the USA, which is a widely viewed mainstream show. So that, again, that is classic priming there. Classic media priming, planting a seed 5 to 6 weeks earlier in people's minds, and then this now happens. So, I mean, make of it what you will. That's just my take on it. I'm not going to falsely claim I know the definitive truth. That's not the way it works. You take all the info in and you weigh it all up. I suppose we'll find out more in the days to come. Anyway, let us know your comments and what's your opinion. As always, thanks for listening, and come and subscribe to HugoTalks.com, and I'll see you later.
Pretty interesting. Never heard of the Georgia Guidestones. But, yeah, they can use that, I guess, round us all up. You know, they could be using that... to kind of say, okay, look at these radical people. Let's arrest them for, you know, bringing damage on such and such. You can never tell.
Yeah.
You can never
tell. Know, you know we'll be framed for something. You know? You just know we will. And so I'm wondering about that too. And something interesting with this, you know that I kind of, what I found interesting, he talked about the 33. That's true. What he said about that 33 is true. That's the number. That regards the 33-degree Mason. That is right on. So a few, it wasn't even weeks ago, it was probably a month ago, you know that I kind of look at this one Mason who puts out truth. And I kind of watch his channel every now and then because I want to see what they're up to, basically.
Right.
So I kind of keep an eye. Well, I knew he put out that something major was going to happen, and all these things happened on that day. But he also did a guided tour of the Georgia Guidestone.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it at the time. I thought, you know what? I should send that over to Bro and let him, because I thought you knew about it, just to send this over to see, you know. And I didn't do it. I didn't do it to let him hear. But he didn't say anything on a negative with it.
Right.
You know, there was nothing negative.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, yeah, and look, it's written in several different languages, you know. And he went through each one and read them. And I thought, what is he doing there? It was so unlike this one person to travel and do any kind of video like that. You know, it's usually totally different kind of video. He's involved in something totally different. And why he would do that, like a tour of that, and then this happened. When this happened, he's the first person I thought of. You know?
Right.
So it's just, you know, was he pointing to something? Who knows? Who knows? But it is interesting. And he's openly admits he's, you know, he's proud to be a Mason. He is proud to be a Mason.
Sure.
You know, he wears the big ring and all. He's proud. So just crazy. It is odd that that's been up since 1979. You know, it's earthquake, hurricane, whatever proof, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's tons and tons and tons of granite. And to have it destroyed like that, just a piece of it, and then to turn around and knock it down so quickly, and then blame the people who, you know, they put out the conspiracies on it, okay? You know, they actually did years ago. They put out, you can go to the History Channel, or who we don't listen to anyway, but, you can see them putting out conspiracies on this thing years ago. But, you know, it's just interesting that it came down that fast.
Sure.
So I thought that was an interesting story. And if I were you or anyone else, I'd go look at what is actually written on that. You know, their Ten Commandments, basically, on that stone.
Interesting. New World Order. New World Order. Yeah.
Yeah. Right down to depopulation.
Wow.
I don't know if that said 500,000 people we should reduce. You know, I'm not sure the exact amount, but I think it came out to a few years ago, 10% of the population that we had currently. You know, only 10% of a population.
Well, They did that already with COVID.
Yeah, exactly.
They accomplished that and more.
Yeah. So you see what I'm saying? That's a part that was on the stone. I mean, what we see happening, maybe in 1979, 80, 81, around there, you look at it and say, wow, that's futuristic. What are they saying here? That's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
You thought
of
it as creepy, you know, way out there. And then you have all the conspiracies on it, which you don't pay attention to half the time. You just hear me go, right, yeah, sure. Then you have Stonehenge, which I've actually been to Stonehenge before. And, you know, you look at it and you try to figure out why they did it. And I think it's more about there was some kind of worship going on there. I don't know. You know, by the way it's laid out, I don't know.
Right.
No one will ever know. And then they kind of compare that with this, only this was, we know when this was built. We don't know the guy's name, you know. So they kept this mystery by it, and then it gets destroyed, and it's destroyed, and it's the Christians who did it, you know.
Yep.
And the conspiracy. They're doing whatever they can to take truth. The bottom line is this. Anything that you see happening in front of you, they're trying to tell you that's not happening, you
right.
know. And if you're a logical thinker and you're thinking, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense, you're out. You
yep,
know,
yep.
you're a part of the conspiracy theory. You know, so that's what's going on with that. So that'll be interesting to watch. You know, we'll see who gets in trouble for that. So,
sure.
Okay, when we were last on, too, we did talk about how the media, the news media, and other sources, they use a tragedy to sway public opinion. So this fit right into our main audio today. You know, we did that. Hugo did that a couple weeks ago. You know, he talked about that. So in most cases, they take a controversial issue and exploit it to the maximum. Now, we know that's going on. It's a form of brainwashing, and it's driven by fear. So we've also talked about people's addiction to technology in the past, and, you know, it's easy to tell someone to stay away from technology, but they don't do it, you know, because people are driven to it. And we're being forced to use technology to survive. Now, we all understand that. You're not going to do much without technology nowadays. And there's a lot of people that don't realize they're addicted to it. Okay, so today we're going to do a little history lesson on an early form of technology, and that's radio and television. Did you know that these forms were used to hypnotize you? They still are. So, and I'll tell you what, the early televangelists, they knew that, and they jumped right on the bandwagon with this. They knew that years ago. So we're going to listen to an audio from Truth Stream Media. These people are great researchers, and it explains how television was used for hypnosis, okay?
All right.
So there's something where advanced technology is, the government is not far behind it, okay? So she starts in 1946, and it's a great history lesson. So one thing I want to do is quickly do a scripture. If we look at Philippians 4, 8 and 9, it says, verse 8 says, finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9 says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, these things are only found in Christ. You know,
right.
So our mind should be on him. You know, these things are only found in him. And if we focus on him, the God of peace will be with us in these times. And I just wanted to mention that because technology is really amped up to do all these things. The media, you know,
mm-hmm.
any way they can use in technology to sway, brainwash, if you will, you know, whatever they're using. So
right,
if we
right.
keep our mind on Christ, we'll be okay. I believe that.
Amen. Amen. Amen to that. That's scripture. That's the Bible.
Yes. Yep. Yep. And that's the one thing, you know, think on these things and you think, okay, Now, years ago, you say, okay, those are all good. But right now, it's really important to do that. Because the more you find out what technology is being used for, not just as a convenience, the more you realize how you have to really work at staying in the Word of God or focusing on Christ, you know, in these times. So so this is from, so the media, the title of it, the media experimented with television hypnosis back in 1946. And they did. All and right. It's 34 minutes. So you can stop it as you like.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
So, this is not the next video I was planning to do, but I came across this, and I just felt the need to share. Somebody shared this ad on Twitter, and it says, hypnotized with any TV set, first evening or money back. Television repairman's accidental discovery makes anyone a hypnotist right away. Secret method uses ordinary TV set. No electronic knowledge needed, no prior hypnotic training needed, blah, blah, blah. And when I saw this, immediately I was like, well, that's probably real. And then, obviously, the more skeptical, logical part of myself took over and said, you should probably verify that that's not pop art or some other made-up thing. And so I went to the newspaper archives to try to find this ad. And I started my search in the 40s when TV first became a thing and kind of set the search to the 40s and 50s to start. And I did not find this ad anywhere, although I did find it later. It actually came out of a comic book. So there you go, came out of a comic book. But not even the point, because what I did find instead was this and versions of this article all over December 1946, talking about how BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, the government-owned BBC, was going to bar television hypnosis because it was too effective. And this was all over papers all over the country in around December 20th and 21st, 22nd, 23rd. It was talked about for a good week in 1946. So the ad I couldn't find, but this I did. And I just want to show this to you. So apparently the BBC announced that it had so successfully experimented with hypnotism by television that the feat would not be tried on a general broadcast. The experiment was carried out on a closed circuit, not publicly televised this week by Peter Casson. That's the guy that got to do the hypnotism. In the first test, because there was more than one, a dozen volunteers from the BBC staff subjected themselves to the hypnotist, and five of them went into a hypnotic sleep. In the second test, Casson made a direct attempt to hypnotize six persons watching the screen in a darkened room, and four of them went to sleep. And in the fashion of the day, this is an AP article, but it was reprinted everywhere, and different headlines everywhere, and different little factoids were left in and out. So this is a truncated, tiny version of this article from the St. Louis Star and Times. This is from the Lewiston Daily Sun. BBC finds hypnosis by television works. Test puts staff member in trance. Shudder at possibilities. And they go through the same basic information, but they give a little bit more. They say, one member of the cheerful dozen of the staff who assembled to see if they could be put to sleep by television over a private wire suddenly snoozed and dented his chest with his chin. Another yawned and went into the same sort of trance. A third looked hard at the television screen, but before anyone could prop him up, he sank limply into dreamland. So did two others. It was then that the scary possibilities of the thing shook the government-established BBC. Really, it was then that they were like, oh, you know what? This is maybe not a good thing. I mean, why do you think they tried it in the first place? Come on. My goodness, said an official, if you can hypnotize people by television, think of what would happen if everybody had a television set, as everybody will shortly. And a Hitler sort of fellow started working on them all. He refreshed himself from a decanter and said, brr, and made it clear that he must not be quoted by name. I mean, he explained that if you could somehow get control of the nation's television transmitter, you could put everybody to sleep and just walk in, and why the atom bomb would be years behind the times as a secret weapon. It's very dramatic. At least it's written very dramatically. Hitler seemed to do it without television, but suppose some other country, Seriously, though, he said, because of the success of this experiment, BBC was afraid of the consequences of hypnotizing viewers who might not have anyone at hand to wake them up. Because it goes on to talk about how this Kassin guy, the hypnotist, he had to wake some of these people up personally because they would not be roused by other people.
Walking, eating, driving, or engaging in other activities while asleep without remembering it the next day have been reported. Abnormal behaviors may include aggressiveness, agitation, hallucinations, or confusion.
Here's another version of the article out of the Muncie Evening Press. Several watching television made hypnosis victims. The BBC announced they experimented with television. And this one has another interesting point, that one person in a party watching a television screen in a darkened room across the corridor also fell under the hypnotic influence, although Mr. Kassin was not then addressing the viewing audience. So whatever was going on with these TVs in this test, it had such an effect that somebody was watching it across the hall and went into a hypnotic state without Mr. Kassin even talking.
Now, question.
Yes.
Would the TV by itself hypnotize you, or you need the TV plus the hypnotist?
It's the TV. They found that, according to the research, according to what I heard, what she said, it was they used it as hypnotism when they wanted to promote something. So the TV by itself, no. I don't think just a TV would do that. But what they're viewing on, you know what I'm saying? The things promote on TV are intentional. You know?
Right.
So.
All right. Let me put this back again.
Did I answer that, or maybe she can answer that?
Yeah,
because,
no. Because,
you know, that's a very good question.
Right, because I'm trying to find out if the TV's like, for example, we have radio right now. We're using radio.
Right.
We got internet radio. Are we indirectly, by using internet, are we hypnotizing people? Or is it that you need the TV plus the sorcerer to put you under the spell?
Mm. Well, the sorcerer could be the person promoting whatever they want to promote.
Yeah, sorcerer is the hypnotist, right?
Yes.
Okay, I gotta hear this from the beginning, because I want to make sure I'm not a sorcerer and you're not into sorcery.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, let's put it back from the beginning. I'm gonna play real close. I'm listening, but when she mentioned this guy putting somebody to sleep down the hallway, I'm saying, is it the TV, or is it the hypnotist, or is it a combination of both? All right, let's go back and see if I can.
Well, BBC put out an alert when it first happened that they were saying the TV did it then. You know what I mean? Just watching that constant watching, they put out an alert, and, of course, you have the other people say, well, that we could use that then. You see?
Sure.
So, that's a great question.
Yeah.
You always have good questions, you. All right.
Well, I pay attention. I tried to, at least. Okay.
Yeah, you did. You did.
So, this is not the next video I was planning to do, but I came across this, and I just felt the need to share. Somebody shared this ad on Twitter, and it says, hypnotize with any TV set, first evening of money back. Television repairman's accidental discovery makes anyone a hypnotist right away. Secret method uses ordinary TV set. No electronic knowledge needed, no prior hypnotic training needed, blah, blah, blah. And when I saw this, immediately I was like, well, that's probably real. And then obviously the more skeptical, logical part of myself took over and said, you should probably verify that that's not pop art or some other made-up thing. And so I went to the newspaper archives to try to find this ad. And I started my search in the 40s when TV first became a thing and kind of set the search to the 40s and 50s to start. And I did not find this ad anywhere, although I did find it later. It actually came out of a comic book. So there you go, came out of a comic book. But not even the point, because what I did find instead was this and versions of this article all over December 1946 talking about how BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, the government-owned BBC, was going to bar television hypnosis because it was too effective. And this was all over papers all over the country in around December 20th and 21st, 22nd, 23rd. It was talked about for a good week in 1946. So the ad I couldn't find, but this I did. And I just want to show this to you. So apparently the BBC announced that it had so successfully experimented with hypnotism by television that the feat would not be tried on a general broadcast. The experiment was carried out on a closed circuit, not publicly televised this week by Peter Casson. That's the guy they got to do the hypnotism. In the first test, because there was more than one, a dozen volunteers from the BBC staff subjected themselves to the hypnotist, and five of them went into a hypnotic sleep. In the second test, Casson made a direct attempt to hypnotize six persons watching the screen in a darkened room, and four of them went to sleep. And in the fashion of the day, this is an AP article, but it was reprinted everywhere, and different headlines everywhere, and different little factoids were left in and out. So this is a truncated, tiny version of this article from the St. Louis Star and Times. This is from the Lewiston Daily Sun. BBC finds hypnosis by television works. Test puts staff member in trance. Shudder at possibilities. And they go through the same basic information, but they give a little bit more. They say, one member of the cheerful dozen of the staff who assembled to see if they could be put to sleep by television over a private wire suddenly snoozed and dented his chest with his chin. Another yawned and went into the same sort of trance. A third looked hard at the television screen, but before anyone could prop him up, he sank limply into dreamland. So did two others. It was then that the scary possibilities of the thing shook the government-established BBC. Really, it was then that they were like, oh, you know what? This is maybe not a good thing. I mean, why do you think they tried it in the first place? Come on. My goodness, said an official, if you can hypnotize people by television, think of what would happen if everybody had a television set, as everybody will shortly. And a Hitler sort of fellow started working on them all. He refreshed himself from a decanter and said, brr, and made it clear that he must not be quoted by name. I mean, he explained that if you could somehow get control of the nation's television transmitter, you could put everybody to sleep and just walk in, and why the atom bomb would be years behind the times as a secret weapon. It's very dramatic. At least it's written very dramatically. Hitler seemed to do it without television, but suppose some other country, ... Seriously, though, he said, because of the success of this experiment, BBC was afraid of the consequences of hypnotizing viewers who might not have anyone at hand to wake them up. Because it goes on to talk about how this Casson guy, the hypnotist, he had to wake some of these people up personally because they would not be roused by other people.
Walking, eating, driving, or engaging in other activities while asleep without remembering it the next day have been reported. Abnormal behaviors may include aggressiveness, agitation, hallucinations, or confusion.
Here's another version of the article out of the Muncie Evening Press. Several watching television made hypnosis victims. The BBC announced they experimented with television. This one has another interesting point, that one person in a party watching a television screen in a darkened room across the corridor also fell under the hypnotic influence, although Mr. Casson was not then addressing the viewing audience. So whatever was going on with these TVs in this test, it was it had such an effect that somebody was watching it across the hall and went into a hypnotic state without Mr. Kasten even talking. And then they say because of the success of this experiment and the danger of hypnotizing viewers who might not have anyone to wake them up, it's now been decided that hypnotic television broadcast would not be advisable. This is out of The Guardian, December 21st, 1946. It says, the BBC, it appears, has decided not to put hypnotism into its television program. I mean, it makes it sound like they were sitting around going, well, what are we going to do with this new TV that everyone's about to have? Well, what do you think about hypnosis, guys? Like, it just sounds like that was the whole idea. Like, that's why it was created. I mean, this was one of the first things they tried. And by the way, before I finish showing you these other articles, really quick, I just want to point out, this is an article called The History of Television. It comes from Grolier Encyclopedia, and it's up on NYU.edu website. And it notes here that before 1947, the number of U.S. homes with television sets could be measured in the thousands. So that's hardly anybody. That's just your very early adopters of this technology, and I guess the people who could afford it. I have not looked up how much televisions cost at the time, but not very many people had a TV before 1947. And in fact, this article goes on to say,
okay, so what's your take? Are we all being hypnotized on a daily basis?
I would think so. I would think so. And I'll tell you, because of the different things they're putting out all the time, you know, too much television there, I think they're, you know, maybe we've called it being programmed. Maybe it's something different. You know?
Right,
you're getting
right.
programmed with technology. Maybe it's you're really being hypnotized by it. Because to me it sounds like it was planned after they found out what it could do.
Mm-hmm.
Then the government gets a hold of it and plans it, you know, said, hey, this is a good resource here.
Right, right.
To control the people. Because BBC
mm-hmm.
was government owned, you know, that's government owned.
Sure.
So when you get a television license in England, you automatically get the BBC with that.
Right, right.
And you have to have a license
right.
for television over there. You do know that.
Okay.
So, we could be.
Well,
1946. What do you think?
Well, okay. So this is the year. Hold on. This is the year 2022 minus 1946. Okay, so they've been 76 years at this thing.
Mm-hmm.
2022 minus 1946. They've been 76
right.
years perfecting this thing. It could possibly be that they are, to some degree, hypnotizing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, in the account, the hypnotist had to be present to wake people up from the hypnotic state. So
right.
we know that today, after I watch an episode, let's say, of Green Acres or Hogan's Heroes or I Dream of
mm-hmm.
Jeannie, we know that after a half hour of that, my wife doesn't have to snap her finger to wake me up. I'm not hypnotized in that
Correct.
Sense.
Correct.
But the ability to hypnotize people is there.
Yes, because they said the television can make anyone a hypnotist. You see?
Right.
So
right,
that's
right.
what made me think that, yeah, some of this stuff, now that they're putting out the propaganda that they put out,
mm-hmm.
they could be doing that today.
Sure.
So yeah,
sure.
it's not the
right.
it's not the television. It's the, you know, what they can do with it. You know, what can we do
right,
with it?
Right, Sure. It's like they're trying subtle levels of hypnosis or subtle levels of brainwashing. They're not they don't have a full-fledged brainwashing campaign, but they are testing little things here and there as to how much brainwashing they can do with the little bit of the ability that they're using. Because they're not, we know they're not using the full ability, because nobody has to wake you up. Nobody has to wake me up out of my hypnotic state.
Right.
But they are using it to a certain degree to get people to buy products or to get people to think right about a political opponent or a candidate or whatever. So, that's interesting. Yeah.
My husband falls asleep every time we go to the theater. And he also falls asleep with a bad sermon.
Sure.
When it's a really bad sermon, my husband falls asleep in church.
Well, that means that the hypnotist is no good. So,
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, we quit going to the movies for that reason.
Sure.
Okay.
Full-scale commercial television broadcasting did not begin in the United States until 1947. So in 1946, hardly anyone had a television. And that is when they were doing these experiments.
Okay, so they couldn't brainwash, they couldn't do mass brainwashing or mass hypnotism because very few people could afford a TV.
Right.
All right. Fast forward 76
Okay, wait a minute, though.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Finish your thought, and then I'll...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Fast forward 76 Fast forward 76 years into the future, and I could say they got people hypnotized with their smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
Because people can't get away.
Absolutely.
Even when people are passing me and they're driving, I can see them looking down. Which means they're looking at their smartphone.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Okay.
Wait a minute. When I just heard that, I was thinking about, do you know, and Paula does this, when they're speaking, they snap their fingers.
Right.
You see pastors do that all the time, you know?
Sure.
These apostates, they're talking and they're snapping their fingers.
Mm-hmm.
So they know what's going on.
Sure.
You know, is that what they're doing? Are they actually hypnotizing the church, people in the church, or who watch them? Could be. Why do they snap their fingers like that? Why do they do that? Are they hypnotists? Are they not preachers? Are they hypnotists?
Yeah, I don't know because...
makes you wonder.
Paula is so boring that, you know, now the one thing about hypnosis is that people cannot get hypnotized if there's a foul stench in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why Paula
has
to snap her fingers. Yeah, because she's a foul stench. So, you know, maybe that's why she has to resort to snapping fingers because,
I see that on the internet. I even see that on the internet, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's interesting,
snapping
finger thing, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be talking, and then they'll, when they want to say something, well, the internet preachers, too, a lot of them, if they want to say something about money, they snap their fingers.
Right.
About giving. And,
and it's
at certain points that they snap their fingers. You know, it is interesting. I thought it was, but go ahead.
Sure,
I don't remember not having a television in my life. I don't ever remember as a kid not having a television in the house.
Same thing with me. As far as I can remember, there was a TV in my house. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
interesting.
Oh, sure.
So this version of the article goes on to say that the experiments were too successful. And it says, before anybody gaily protests that BBC officers are notoriously half asleep already or complains that its television staff must be so overworked that it drops off on the slightest provocation, let it be agreed that drowsiness is easily fostered by the effect of a rhythmic pattern on the eye. Even a windscreen wiper will do it, as drivers of motor cars know to their annoyance. Add a readiness to relax and the soothing voice of the hypnotist, and the rest is a recognized psychological process. Just how far the instructions of the hypnotist can then influence the dream or actions of the sleeper depends on the degree of hypnosis and the receptivity of the subject. It would certainly be well not to introduce such experiments into a television program. In the first place, it's no part of the BBC's business to send its customers to sleep. In the second, it would almost certainly be accused by someone of having seized the chance to pour the leper's distillment of communism or fascism into the helpless sleeper's ear. So everybody was thinking about the power of this technology and what it could do. And this comes out of the Sioux City Journal. It's their version of it. But they follow it up with a danger admitted here in the U.S. They follow it up by saying the National Broadcasting Company's television vice president, John F. Royal, agreed Friday with British experimenters that hypnotism by television would be dangerous and said the network would keep off the air any performer who might exert undue influence by hypnotic means. Many well-known hypnotists, he said, have offered their services to television, but all such offers have been turned down. Television's ability to capture the attention of its audience is so strong that we feel hypnotism could be potentially a very dangerous and risky thing, Royal said. And following the publication of this, you had newspapers all over the place making jokes about how, shucks, millions of people are already hypnotized by radio, never mind television, they have to be or they wouldn't sit and listen to all these commercials. Ha ha ha, so funny. And I also wanted to point out that some of them referred to it as hypnotized by radio, even though, like this headline from the Examiner says hypnotized by radio and then says hypnotism by television has been tried on a closed circuit, blah, blah, blah. So then I started to wonder how many other articles of this were put up that were about being hypnotized by radio that were under this same headline to see if there was any further information. And what I came back with, actually, was that in 1927, they were putting on hypnotic radio shows to see what would happen with hypnotism over actual radio. So here's an appearance by a mystic named Vishnu, and Zenith Radio is promoting it about how they were going to have a live hypnotism show at the Capitol Theater. And this was January 18th, 1927. And the next day, January 19th, they reported in the Miami Tribune, Vishnu is successful. She's awake. The famous mystic completed his conquest of putting this woman asleep for 24 hours and then used the radio to wake her up from the roof of this theater while hundreds of people crowded around to see if it would work. A couple of months later in March, and this is out of the Daily Herald, they announced that they were going to try radio hypnosis as an experiment. Professor will attempt to control three subjects in separate points over radio tonight. And this was out of Boston. The practicability of mesmerism by radio is to be decided here tonight. Professor Gerald Fitzgibbon will go on the air promptly at 6 o'clock over Westinghouse stations WBZ and WBZA.
In the case of WBZ Boston, the radio beams are focused inland as well as up and down the coastline to prevent much of its power being lost at sea.
And while his efforts will be directed at three subjects, two in Boston and one in Springfield, there is the possibility, station officials said, that others may come under the hypnotic sway. Says within 2 minutes, the three will be in a mesmeric state. Professor Fitzgibbon predicted they will be made to laugh, cry, enter a state of catalepsy, permit two full-grown men to stand on their rigid bodies, and then commanded to write surrender. They will return to a normal condition. Commanded to write surrender, just by the way. Then they will return to a normal condition and find that their left arms, which will have been paralyzed through a post-hypnotic suggestion, will function normally again. This came out the next day on March 10th, 1927. Hypnotism by radio tried. Apparently successful test is reported from Springfield, Massachusetts. Subjects respond to commands. An apparently successful experiment in hypnosis by radio was reported from Springfield last night. While psychiatrists observing the effects of the same experiment on two men here express themselves as unconvinced.
So there you go. They tried hypnotism by radio.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
the shadow knows.
Sure. That's it. So yeah,
my mother
now,
told me about this show they used to have on the radio called The Shadow Knows, and I had never heard a radio show. And my mother said, you'll have to listen. Well, we were traveling once and going through somewhere in Kentucky or Tennessee, and they had the old radio shows on, and it was called
right.
The Shadow
mm-hmm.
or something. And I actually
yeah.
was able to hear it, you
right.
know, for the first time.
Yeah, they had these old. The shadow was like a superhero. He's like
right.
what you call a Batman, or you know, he was a superhero of the day. You know, they had those. It's like Orson Welles when he did the H.G. Wells book, War of the Worlds, and H.G. Wells
right.
got on and said. Oh, it's the end of the world. Those flying saucers are in Washington, D.C. And, you know, and people were like, oh, my God, it's the end of the world. And everybody was believing. Now, of course, that wasn't hypnotism. That's what you call mass hysteria, which is something completely
yes.
different. But they used radio to scare people to death.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm concerned about this, you know, too. You know, because this is fear-based. But one
sure.
thing they said there, I just looked up as we're talking here. She said something about the mystics, you know, were involved in this. And I remembered that we did something on John Crowder out of Bethel there. And he's called the New Mystic. It's called the New Mystics, John
mm-hmm.
Crowder out of Bethel.
Right.
Bethel
right.
Church.
Mm-hmm.
He's a part of that. And remember, he dressed up as a Roman Catholic a lot of times, or a clown
yeah.
or whatever. He's really
yeah,
crazy.
Sure.
So,
sure.
I just looked
yeah.
that up as we were speaking because I missed that the first time I heard it.
It's crazy stuff.
Interesting.
These are just crazy people.
Yeah.
All right.
Sense of its genuineness. But there's this picture, this one was published March 11th in the Buffalo Evening News. There's this picture of the experiment, and these are the guys here, and it says, an experiment in hypnosis by radio is conducted in Boston and Springfield in the presence of newspapermen and two leading Boston psychiatrists with interesting results. Two men, William Hall and Guy Marshall, received hypnotic influences over the loudspeaker from Springfield, 100 miles from Boston. To all outward appearances, both men were completely under the influence of the radio voice and performed various operations under the direction of Professor Gerald M.P. Fitzgibbons, 100 miles away. Here we see the doctors inserting sterilized needles into the arms of the men who showed not the slightest pain during the experiment. Ugh. Yuck. And while it was being debated in the scientific community whether or not this radio hypnosis was really successful or not, a week later it was reported in the Morning Herald on March 19th, 1927, that a man named Lorenzo McCoy, a building contractor of Red Lion in York, Pennsylvania, said that he was mesmerized by means of radio last Friday night when he followed carefully the instructions of a Professor Fitzgibbons of Springfield, Massachusetts, and claimed that he could not separate his hands, which he had clasped together at the direction of the man at Springfield, until the voice coming over the radio released his hands. It says his son, a husky youth, tried to pull his father's hands apart but could not do so. McCoy says he is thankful that broadcasting conditions were good and that he heard distinctly the command to separate his hands. Because I guess what he's saying is if somehow the radio had gone out or the signal went funky, he might have still had his hands clasped together for however long, since there would be no way to access the command of the hypnotist to release the hands. So that was being reported. And I looked a little bit further, because this now became a rabbit hole. I looked a little bit further into this Professor Fitzgibbons. And they're talking about a man named Gerald Fitzgibbon, who, by the point of the BBC experiments in 46 and 47, he was going under the name Professor Wiz and being hired by corporations like Phillips Petroleum to do hypnosis to auditoriums of 1,000 people who were guests of the Petroleum Corporation and amusing bankers at the American Institute of Banking dinners. So he was being hired by corporations and institutions to go around and hypnotize large groups of people at the same time that the BBC is doing these experiments on television. And at that point, I was like, why not? So I tried to look this guy up in the declassified CIA documents. I didn't see anything specifically related to him. But what I did find is that in January 1980, you had ex-CIA hypnotherapist Dr. Milton Klein, who was a consultant to the CIA's super-secret behavior modification project Bluebird, which is the precursor to MKUltra. Back in 1950, they were using things like polygraphs, drugs, and hypnotism to try and attain results in interrogation techniques. So he was part of that. He was coming out in January 1980 warning about regulating and limiting hypnosis to health professionals and saying that one of the goals of these experiments to create a hypnotized remote-controlled assassin was entirely possible, though he denied knowledge of any terminal experiments that would have tested these theories. So he's talking about Manchurian candidates. And he's saying, even 30 years later, 1980, that it's completely possible to do that. It says, Klein claims that given the proper subject and circumstances, using hypnosis, he could produce a killer in 3 to 6 weeks. And that it cannot be done by everyone, it cannot be done consistently, but it can be done. And then, in an eerie set of events, that same year, in December, this same hypnotist, Dr. Milton Klein, was hired as an expert by the defense in Mark David Chapman's trial for allegedly firing 5 shots into John Lennon. So he was hired as an expert on hypnotism to try to prove that Mark David Chapman was temporarily insane when he shot John Lennon. The same year that he's giving an interview where he's warning that Manchurian candidates are totally a possible thing. So that was really creepy to stumble upon.
Well, let's pose this question. What effect does video games have on the kids who are shooting up these schools?
A lot. I can tell you that from the reports, a lot.
Right. I mean, that's just another rabbit hole that we can go down through, right? I mean, because it's all visual.
Yes.
Right? It's all stuff that they're seeing. It's all stuff that they're learning. So, I mean, that would be, you know, that would be the next question.
Yes, because they don't realize in a child's mind when they kill someone on a video game, that person resurrects immediately. They don't see death as death, you know, permanent. They
right.
just see a resurrected person that continues to fight, you see? So they have no concept of what they're doing or what they're, you know, when that happens, and it becomes a natural thing to them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a form of programming, yes. I mean, these games are violent.
Sure. Absolutely.
And try to keep kids away from them. You know,
right.
because parents want to look at their technology, so they allow the children to watch it. And you try to take that away from a child that's, you know, been trained to look at that. They teach them how to play games, video games.
Right. Or let's explore another possibility. I saw an interview once with serial killer Ted Bundy, and he was asked by, I think it was James Dobson, who was interviewing from Focus on the Family, did pornography have a role in his serial killing?
Mm-hmm.
And he said it did. It played an adverse role.
That's right.
So
that's right.
How many
I can
things
confirm
do we have?
That. Not by pornography, but the police officer, remember the same one that let me talk to the SWAT guy? That police officer said most serial killers, they start with pornography. So you're absolutely right there. But go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so, you know, how many things are people watching that in some way or another either hypnotize them or deceive them into thinking that there's something they're not, or that they can do something and there'll be no consequences to it? You know, those are the questions,
right?
Those are the questions that must be asked,
right?
So
before we lose these kids, you know, to these things. I mean, you just can't understand how someone can do the things, but you can if you listen to this. You know, you understand a little bit of what's going on, where their mind's at,
when
you listen to this. Something else the SWAT guy said now that's interesting, and I had this planned, and then I had talked to the man, and when he spoke about training SWAT teams, he said one of the methods they use was repetition. It takes several weeks to train somebody for a SWAT team, but they use repetition. Everything's done in repetition over and over and over to the point that it becomes natural for them to just do it automatically without thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if that's what this is doing. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
You know, I mean, I just remembered that as we're talking of one of the things that he said. And because the repetition thing, you know, I'm thinking how, you know, I'm thinking, when I think of that, I think of the Roman Catholic Church, you know, with repetition. But it's also used in the SWAT team. You know, that's how they train them, so that it just becomes a part of them. So that's how they're going to react automatically. There's no thought. They just react.
Right.
It's all reactions. They're training.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing when you think about it?
Sure it is. Sure it is. Sure it is.
Hmm. It's just interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right. How much time? We have 12 minutes left. We're not going to finish this today. All right. Let me play a little bit more.
Hypnotism by radio was also experimented with, and also apparently with success, back in 1927. So it's not really a surprise that they would do it with the television as soon as they got a television, that would be the thing. And this article came out in the Birmingham News on December 24th, 1946, hypnotism via television now proved fact. It says that professional hypnotists in this city were interested but not at all surprised over the success of hypnotism by television as carried out by a British hypnotist in a recent experiment conducted by the British Broadcasting Corporation. It seems, according to a news dispatch from London, the English specialist pretested his program before a committee of six judges at BBC television headquarters at the Alexandria Palace. Peter Casson fixed his staring eye on the lens of a television camera and suggested smoothingly that all looking go to sleep. All woke up when shaken vigorously. There's nothing at all unusual about this, said Dr. Thomas L. Garrett, president of the Garrett Foundation for Psychological Research, which has done valuable work in restoring World War II victims of battle fatigue by hypnotic suggestion. Hypnotists in this country, myself included, have been practicing hypnosis over the telephone for 25 years. It should be even easier by television. And then they go on to say, like many other articles have gone on to say, that this cannot be done against your will. You have to be a willing participant for this to work. But I mean, if people are willingly sitting down to watch television, doesn't that mean you're a willing participant? I don't know. I'm just saying. I think the point of this is really just to show that television was not even a thing yet that was widely had by the majority of the population, and one of the first things they were doing with it was to see how effectively it could be used to hypnotize people. And thinking about all of the possibilities of that technology being used in that way. And just for the record, here's this Hypnotize with Any TV Set ad. It's up on Wikipedia Commons, and it states down here that it comes from The Amazing Spider-Man, which was published in 1973. So, and we've talked about this before on this channel over the years about flicker rates and alpha states and what happens to your subconscious mind.
Adds up with this video. Recently, I was looking through some congressional subcommittee hearings, you know, like you do, and apparently they held one on subliminal communication technology, which was held in the year 1984 of all years, and put into the record was a Southern California Law Review document that mentioned several very interesting points. First, it notes that according to previously classified documents, the CIA was testing subliminal manipulation in movie theaters during the late 50s, and in a document on these studies speculated that subliminal projection can be utilized in such a way as to feature a visual suggestion such as obey deleted.
And so I'm not really just going to go back over all the things that I've already said, but they did a lot of experiments in the years after that and during the Cold War using subliminal suggestion in advertisements and other things to see what the effects would be on people. That's all ground that's been covered. But I came across this article up on Psych Mechanics that's from last year, How TV Influences Your Mind Through Hypnosis. And I just think some of the things the guy said are probably a good way to finish this video. He talks about, would I be exaggerating if I say that a part of your behavior and personality is shaped by the things that you see on the TV screen, on the screen? Definitely not. It's naive to think that television is a harmless pastime activity that doesn't affect your psyche in any way. Every thinking person knows that anything you expose your mind to affects it. Your psyche is continually being shaped by all kinds of information that you receive from your environment, and that includes television, which he calls one of the most effective hypnotic tools out there that can have a huge influence on the way people think and the beliefs they hold, and that your subconscious mind, which carries all your memories and beliefs, and makes you who you are, is directly programmed by watching television. Like I said, we've talked about this before, but your brain can only be surprised by information one time. So if you watch something on TV, that's the one time. That's the one time that information has now gone into your mind and has been, quote-unquote, programmed there. I mean, that's what it is. You're not going to be shocked by that a second time. They've done studies with ads, and they found that they really don't need to show you things repetitively. They really only need to show it to you once. And that when you go into a store, your brain is going to recall that one time that it was shown to you. So they really don't have to play you 100 Coca-Cola ads. They just have to play you one Coca-Cola ad. That's all it takes. And he goes on to talk about the flicker-induced hypnotic state that puts people into an alpha state that's commonly associated with deep relaxation, and that your subconscious mind then becomes suggestible under that state. And then all the information you receive in that state just goes into your memory pool. He says, since beliefs are nothing but memories, this information has a tendency to alter your beliefs or form new ones when it seeps into your subconscious mind. You might think the remote is in your hand and you're watching the program, but in truth, you're the one who's getting programmed. Freeing your mind is all about finding out what beliefs you are holding in your subconscious, bringing them to consciousness, and then eliminating the ones that have no compelling evidence or basis in reality. The natural consequence of a hypnotic trance state is that your conscious filters are turned off and you're unable to critically analyze the information that you are receiving. Moreover, when you watch TV, you're not able
to... Is that maybe why there's so much dementia and Alzheimer's in the United States?
That's a brilliant question, because I was thinking about that when she was talking and you just said it. I don't know. I have to say I don't know. But
right.
Is it possible?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible?
Yeah.
Is it possible?
Amazing.
I mean, are we sitting in front of the TV hypnotizing ourselves?
Sure.
And are we a walking experiment, you know?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Well, it's called, some people call it the idiot box. Other people have called it, you know, the devil's box.
Good point.
There may be some truth to both. You know,
yes.
there may be some truth to both. Well, we stopped
this
it
This is
at
why we need the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep, go ahead.
We stopped it at the 24-minute mark, so there's still 10 minutes on it. We'll come back to this next week. Very interesting. Very interesting. There's a lot of rabbit holes in this video, you know? There's a lot of ways this thing can go. Your mind, you know, you just, it's amazing, the different possibilities for which they use television and radio. And now cell phones, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Great show, as always.
Thank you.
Very provocative, very thought-provoking, very, now my head's going to be spinning because I'm going to say, well, do I want to be hypnotized today? And let's see. what is my hypnotism of choice? Is it Westerns or is it Marvel movies or, you know, what's, you know, so.
Right.
Very interesting. Wow. Very interesting. Yeah.
Right.
All right, you have the last word.
Well, I just thinking about, you know, I think we're good if we have the Holy Spirit. You know, he's the one that brings us into all truth. So with that, we'll finish this next week. And by the way, I just wanted to say, when this lady, I forgot to mention this, but she does have receipts. She does have the documentation, and Bro is able to see that. So he's able to watch the documentation as we go on these things.
Absolutely.
I would say have a great week, and take care. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Shout joy. Come worshiping before the throne of God. For the Lord, he is good, and his love endures forever. So we enter in. Oh.